allowing the body to move at the pace of the body. We so often drag the body behind us at the pace of the mind. And so, letting the body lead you into this moment. Perhaps taking a few slightly deeper breaths. Feeling the breath wash through the body, feeling the breath wash out of the body. Letting there be this quality of cleansing and clearing. Yourself sweep the warm sunbeam of your awareness slowly, luxuriously through the body. Maybe beginning at the crown of the head and almost like the warmth of your attention could melt over you like warm honey. You know, it's honey as it drips has that slow melting quality to it. We're in no rush. There's no place to get to in this moment. So, enjoying this contact with the body and letting yourself linger in those places that feel good, that feel a measure of comfort or ease. Like, don't rush through those parts of the body. And also, perhaps pausing for an extra loving breath in those parts of the body that might have accumulated some tension or tightness, inviting them to unknot, to soften and settle. Letting the eyes rest back from all their hard work of looking and gathering the world in. Letting them rest. Inviting a slight release into the jaw. Letting the lips, the tongue, the throat rest from any energy of speaking, engaging with the world. Relaxing the shoulders away from the ears, letting shoulders rest from whatever they may have been carrying around this last day or this last week. As if any weight that's been upon your shoulders or your back, that it just rolls off just for this one window of time, perhaps. Letting the abdomen and the diaphragm be soft. So often when there's worry or fear in the field of our lives, that we can hold our breath. So just seeing if there can be any letting go that allows just a slightly more expansive, full breath. Checking in with the hands, noticing if there's any gripping or bracing. Sometimes that can get expressed through the arms or the hands. So letting them rest ever so gently on your lap or your legs. Checking in with the lower body. Sometimes there's tension that's held here, almost as if we're mobilizing to run through life or run away from stressors. So seeing if there's any way for the legs, the lower body, to release more fully into the support of the chair or the cushion or the earth. Letting yourself be held. And as you relax through the body, you might see what quality of easeful alertness naturally arises in the body. There might be a sense of a lengthening through the spine or a slight lift through the crown of the head, but it comes from a place of ease, not effort. It's like when we clear away the extra striving that's often tangled up in tension, there can be a bubbling forth of an easeful energy. That can hold us. So we're held not only by the physical support of chair or earth, but we're held by the support of an internal aliveness, an internal energy. As you come to inhabit the body from the inside out more fully in this moment, might let yourself sort of look around, so to speak, to tune in to the experience of the body. In particular, noticing those places of ease. The place, perhaps, in your body that feels most supported, grounded, settled, stable. Easeful. Maybe that's the soles of your feet. Or maybe it's your butt on the chair. Or the gentleness of the hands, wherever they're at rest. Or maybe somehow it's just the felt sense of the body as a whole. This recognition, oh, I'm here, just right here. Or maybe what's most reassuring or most soothing in this moment is the gentle movement of the waves of the breath. So letting your own deep experiential knowing of the body in this moment, right here. Let that guide you to the place that feels like the most supportive resting place in your felt sense of the body, here and now. Let it be easeful. Let it be enjoyable. Trusting your own native intelligence to bring you to the home base that's just right for you. Right now. tuning in to your experience right here, right now. Whether you're still with your home base, whether you've wandered into the thought stream or have tuned into sounds in the room around you. Just bringing this capacity for knowing what's here. Shining a warm spotlight on the moment. Without needing to work too hard. Just a light noticing and then a resting. Allowing that deep relaxation and easing back to that place in the body that feels most stable, supported, grounded, at ease. as we gradually come toward the end of our practice together, taking a few moments to reflect, how might this capacity for clearly knowing the experience of the moment, how might this capacity for easeful effort resting into stability or support, how might this be of service out in the world? How might you share this with others you encounter as you move through your day? Perhaps closing with a wish for all beings to know the gift of a life that's touched by clarity, by ease, by stability and support. May all beings live with a sense of well-being and freedom from suffering. May it be so. And as you release the practice, you might gift yourself a slightly deeper breath. And again, end as we began, perhaps with a little movement, caring for the body and letting the body lead you out of this practice and back into the space where you are sitting. So, it's just really lovely to practice with each of you and we'll continue today. I'll share just a few reflections on the next two qualities in this list of 10. You know, there's so many roadmaps to living a good life, and I think it can just be so rich to learn about different maps and see, oh, what do I resonate with? You know, because sometimes we stumble on a map that illuminates some territory that we're in, you know, in some way. It's like, oh, this is really helpful. So, you know, in offering these qualities, it's not saying this is the map for you. One of the things I love about this practice is we're always invited to come check it out for yourself. And I actually love that, because the quality that is the next in the list is wisdom. For those of you who appreciate knowing, you know, what's the word in the Pali language, this list is one of those lists that the Buddha made, and it's also a list that shows up in different formats in many wisdom traditions. But this is the way it was put together by him. The word is panna, P-A-N-N-A. And wisdom is really grows out of that. Come see for yourself. Because that word wisdom isn't pointing to, I know a lot of stuff. I can, you know, it's like we often confound knowledge with wisdom. You know, we can have a lot of information and not have a lot of wisdom. Wisdom comes from lived experience. Our direct lived experience, you know, it's part of why we attribute wisdom to, you know, those who have been on the planet for a while, because lived experience teaches us so much. And so our practice is a particularly potent gateway into wisdom on many different scales. You know, we tune in to our wisdom of the moment. What's going on right here, right now? Clarity really comes from that skill of seeing, oh, it's like this. It's like this. You know, there's a twinge in the low back, or there's a sound out there at a distance. You know, oh, I'm aware of a thought, you know, that's about what's for lunch after this. You know, it's like knowing what's going on is actually wisdom we sort of don't value very much in this culture, but skillful action, you know, the second item in the list was sila or ethical conduct. Skillful action comes from clear seeing what's going on. So these all interconnect and they all inform one another. And one of the ways of framing wisdom, it's one of my favorite quotes. I couldn't find in my folder the exact wording, so I'm not going to do it total justice. But one of my favorite descriptions of wisdom, again from the Buddha, is that a wise person, aren't you just going, what's he going to say? A wise person is what? A wise person is one who cares for the welfare of others, the welfare of self, the welfare of self and others, and the welfare of the whole world. And I love that what gets pointed to as wisdom points us again to this relational quality. One of the things I love about this whole list is it's not about some, I'm going to go sit on a mountaintop and have some esoteric experience. It's like, how do I engage skillfully with the world? And so I mean, what would it be like if we actually held wisdom that way? You know, what was most valued is how we care, you know, for all beings, you know. Ourselves included. I like that we're in the circle too in that definition of wisdom, because if we're not caring for ourselves, that's actually not very wise. A lot of damage happens. So wisdom in many ways could be thought of as, what has the book of our own heart taught us? What has the book of our own heart taught us? Rather than, you know, the encyclopedia that's sitting on the shelf, or, you know, Google or all the other places we turn to as sources of information, but it's like, what have we learned here? And then the next quality in the list, the fifth quality, actually pairs nicely with wisdom, or I think grows out of coming on the heels of that, and it's effort. The Pali word is virya, V-I-R-I-Y-A. Any of you who are yogis might know this root too, and the root actually means hero. So there's a pose in yoga that's called Virasana. It's hero's pose, and so there's, you know, and when we say that, you know, there's something that feels kind of effortful, right? Like when we hear the word effort, it feels kind of burdensome, right? Like we're working hard or we're striving in some way. It's like heroic effort. But I actually think it's kind of sweet to think about what is true heroism. Because if you think of like who are heroes in this world, in many ways, true heroism isn't about brute strength. It's often about, you know, heroism can be the grocery store clerk who goes to work even though they're making minimum wage and there's, you know, a greater risk of contracting COVID. Heroism could be the single parent who kind of sticks with the job they don't really like, but it provides for their kids. You know, it's like often if you think about who's inspired you with their effort, it can look a lot of different ways. So even that word hero in this, you know, that origin or root of this word, you know, it gets confounded in what we really view it as in our culture. And so following wisdom, what we're really talking about is wise effort. And wise effort is responsive. So some of those examples that I just gave of who might be a hero are actually responding to conditions as they are. You know, the parent is responding to, I need to pay the rent, I need to feed my kids. And so it's an application of energy that is more about being attuned to what is needed in the moment that really can be informed by the wisdom of clear seeing, of knowing our experience directly. And it changes all day long, right? You know, we, especially these days. And it often part of effort is the capacity for continuity. You know, there's a quality of continuing, of being able to, rise again and again, you know, to meet the moment. And I thought I would share a poem that speaks a little bit to some of this, because sometimes, you know, we feel like, oh, I'm not putting forth enough effort, you know, or these days it can be really challenging to get up again and to keep going, right? So there was this sweet poem entitled Gravity by Rosemary Wotola Tromer. And I can hear in some ways the wise effort and also the compassionate acknowledgement of on some days what might wise effort look like. So gravity. Today it is enough to pour the orange juice, to push down the lever on the toaster, to feed the fish and the kids and water the orchid and return one call. A woman could be buried by all the things she thinks she should do. It might take her years to crawl out from beneath that weight. And so today I take refuge in the fact that I made the bed, that I was a lap for a cat, that I caught a mouse in the carrot row and I let him go. Yeah. So wise effort sometimes shows up in these really skillful, you know, moments. And again, in that last example, I caught a mouse in the carrot row and I let him go. I think of all the qualities we've looked at so far: generosity, ethical conduct that's about non-harming, you know, renunciation, letting go. And then now, you know, wisdom and effort. It's like, oh, you know, often we don't actually It's like when we're inclining in the direction of what's wholesome for the heart, often the right action, you know, in that moment, it's like the right action probably just arose naturally for her. You know, just let the mouse go. You know, it probably wasn't a big analytical spreadsheet in her mind. It was just like, let the mouse go. So I want to offer you some time to share with one another if you wish. And, you know, you might speak to one or both of these qualities. So it might be wisdom. What has the book of your heart taught you? You know, how do you work with effort in your life? How do you find that not too tight, not too loose, just the right amount of effort? And when you don't have the right amount of effort, how do you recalibrate? You know, so there may be other things that really speak to you on either of these topics, but those are two possibilities of where you might go with this. And we'll take a little time and then we'll come back and see if there are comments or questions. So let me set up some breakout rooms and enjoy each other's company. Welcome back. We'll let other folks trickle in. It's nice to have you both back after a while. It's been a while. Welcome back. Good to see you. Well, I have to say it's been one of the blessings of the pandemic in that, to practice. I tend to try to have a lot of retreat time every year. It's deeply replenishing. So I would say for many years, I try to sit 4 to 6 weeks a year. So in different chunks. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't, but I'm most sane when it does. And I've been really grateful for virtual retreats. It's been an edge in practice to really work with building confidence in the discipline to practice in that form. So I'm curious, what did you discover about wisdom, about effort, anything want to be shared? Or anything else about practice that wants to be shared today? Thank you, Ellen. That's beautiful. And Kathy, you had also raised your hand. Yeah. 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 Beautiful. Yeah, because wisdom often starts to illuminate, and we'll see this in some of the qualities that are coming up in the list. Like, what's important? You know, it's kind of like this whole list we've been talking about is one way of considering, who do I want to be in the world? How do I want to be in the world? And letting our hearts guide us. So really beautiful. So I thought I'd end with one little poem and one piece of a poem, speaking on each of these to sort of close us out and to continue this redefinition of wisdom. There's a poem by Mary Gray entitled, When I Am Wise. So I'll just read one stanza. When I am wise in the speech of grass, I forget the sound of words and walk into the bottomland and lie with my head on the ground and listen to what grass tells me about small places for wind to sing. About the labor of insects, about shadows dank with spice, and the friendliness of weeds. Yeah, so again, this wisdom, this deep listening to the moment. And it's achievable. We all have wisdom, and we can all open more and more to the wisdom of the moment and the wisdom of our heart. And then for effort, one more by Rosemary Wotola Tromer, called One Exhaustion. Running and running, but the finish line keeps moving, until at last the wise voice asks, Are you sure this is a race? Yeah, so I'll just read that one more time to send us off, because I think this is good wisdom about effort for us. Running and running, but the finish line keeps moving, until at last the wise voice asks, Are you sure this is a race? So,
stop running for the rest of the day.
I love it. I love it. May your inner wisdom, you know, the book of your heart, guide you well this week, and may you find, you know, that easeful effort, you know, resting into the moment. May that energy arise on its own, you know, sort of like in the meditation as I was guiding. Often when we allow for relaxation into the moment, there is an energy that can well up, that can fuel, I think, our wise efforts. So play with it this week, these two. See what you discover. And we will continue with this strand of pearls next week. We've got five more to go, so I think we'll probably do like two a week. And I don't know, there's probably one I'll do a session on its own, and I'm not sure which one yet. So enjoy. It's always a delight. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you all next week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.